Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The Friday NHC Mandatory Race Edition of the Notorious OTV on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times in NBA, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. We're also brought to you by Champs. Run your own March Madness pool and enter Champs' free bracket contest for a chance to win $1,000. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs to enter today. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. Welcome to the Notorious OTV, brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. And folks, as always,
it's all good, baby, baby. It was all a dream.
We used to read Blood Horse Magazine. I got my Cuban links on.
Yes, Cuban B.
I'm your host, Chase Sessoms, the Wolf of Oakland.
I got ice all over my body looking like a snowman. Big rocks in the grill dancing like a slow jam. My chain's so heavy, I'm walking like an old man. Try me, you.
And folks, I've gone and done it. I went and did it. I just kind of made jazz a little bit with the lineup here, and here we are just putting together some beautiful music.
Are you aware of the music known as jazz?
Joining me today, let's go ahead and start with the man who was on Talking Horses today. Did an excellent job, I will say. He failed to menace, but he succeeded to steal America's heart. Ladies and gentlemen, Matthew DeSantis.
Hey, Chase, how you doing? It's good to be on here with you guys and looking forward to a very fun episode. And I think I had more top pick winners than Andy Serling today. So does that make me a better handicapper than Andy? Maybe, at least just for the day. So we'll see. But
it was verifiably so for one day. You're better than Andy Serling.
That's all I need. Take me now, Lord. Take me now. So
I texted Matthew afterwards. I was like, you didn't let Andy push you around. Way to go. Coming in next, she's usually on Talking Horses, and you can see her on America's Day at the Races. Ladies and gentlemen, Sarah Elbod. Whee! What's up, Sarah?
I was excited to have Matthew have the opportunity today, and if he didn't take it, I was going to bother him until he did and knock on his door this morning. But things are going well. Looking forward to a big weekend as usual. Not a ton of Derby preps, but some really competitive races going on, of course. We'll get into it, but a big competition coming up this weekend as well.
That's right. It's the eye turns to Vegas for the NHC, but Sarah's not the last person that we're calling in to introduce here. Now, your starting guard, alderman of Ward 4 of the No Chalk Zone, Barry Spears. That's right. We got Matthew, Sarah, and Barry joining us today. Barry, what's up, man?
What's happening? You guys better not give my man Andy a hard time. I'm going to text him after this to let him know what's going on. But, yeah, you know, you can't be slandering my boy like that.
It's nothing but love for Andy. It's nothing okay. But love.
That's what I thought anyway.
I just want to watch Jeopardy with him someday. That's really – I think that's a lot of other horse players' goals, too, is to just watch Jeopardy with Andy Serling.
things.
All right. So, go ahead.
I was going to say there's worse things in life than that. So, yeah, I'd have fun doing that.
It would be nice to see him miss daily doubles in both incarnations of the word.
Ouch.
Zinger! Bam! All right. What are we going to be doing today? Well, if we haven't mentioned, it's NHC weekend. We're focuses on Vegas as a whole bunch of handicappers are out there trying to win themselves a national championship and handicapping these goddamn ponies. I decided what to do. Make a contest out of the 6 NHC mandatory races for Friday. $2 win place format. We're going to go a pick and an alternate. If your alternate scratches, you get post-time favorite. You know, not just like the NHC because we're not firing live at anything, but this is the way that we can make it work, that it would work within the confines of my podcast. So give me a break. All right, people out there. I know you're out there ready to take your shots. People out there.
Many men wish death upon me. Blood in my dog and I can't see.
Yeah, man.
Oh, that's, sorry.
I love how hype that always gets you every single time. Yeah, so it's 6 races for this Friday, the 15th of March, year of our Lord, 2024. It's going to be the 5th race at Gulfstream, the 5th race at Oaklawn, the 9th race at Tampa Bay, the 8th race at Aqueduct, the 2nd at Turfway, and the 8th at Santa Anita. So we're all over the place. Barry, what did you think of these races? Did you spend a lot of time on them?
Yeah, you know, I mean, in general, I don't spend a huge amount of time handicapping because, as I like to say, any knucklehead could figure out who the favorite is and go from there. So I don't spend a whole lot of time. I spend a lot of my time crafting bets and strategies. But I think this sequence of races is ripe for opportunities for some upsets. No chalk zone, obviously.
Yeah, I think you raise a very interesting point here, which is how different it is from live betting, because especially for us who are, well, I guess for the players in the NHC also. I mean, Sarah, would you agree that this game isn't so much about price, it's about picking winners?
I guess from this perspective, in terms of where we're going, just within the confines of our own group of people, as far as how this game is set up. But at the same time, we also saw another game that 3 of the 4 of us competed in where someone was picking a lot of winners in Caleb, and he just barely lost because you find the right prices. So I think that it's still looking for value no matter what you're doing in racing. And I think that this is a situation where if you were to pick all the favorites, it's really not a guarantee that you would be successful in this type of situation. So yes and no, I think that you do have to be a little bit more disciplined with trying to balance how you're bringing up your value picks versus what horses you think might be the likeliest winners.
So, Matthew, was there any track here that you saw this and you just thought to yourself, son of a bitch, I hate handicapping this track? Or are you – I know you kind of take on all comers when it comes to tracks. What did you think?
I mean, I love the sequence. I was thrilled to see Turfway Park on there. My only regret, and Barry can probably agree with me on this, is that we didn't have a 5.5 furlongs, you know, Tapita race at Gulfstream Park. As part of this, like, just the more Tapita, the more synth, the better, because it's just I love capping those races. But yeah, I mean, listen, you go all across the country, different surfaces, different distances, different classes. It's a great sequence of races to go through and look at. And I agree with Sarah. I think there's, you know, it's funny. I was just talking to her before we got started, and I said the strategy when it's just the 4 of us is different than the strategy I would probably use at the NHC when right. I know, listen, I got to beat a slew of other people and I got to really separate myself and I got to pick some big prices to really make inroads, as opposed to I got to beat 3 other people. And that changes, you know, some of the dynamics a little bit. And so it's a little bit of balancing, you know, even if you're going against the chalk, balancing your 2nd or 3rd choice on the morning line with, you know, a 10-1 or 15-1 horse that you like. So it's a fun sequence though.
Yeah. And I just real quick want to say, to friends of the show, Mark Capitan, Alexa Zepp, guys, good luck at the NHC this weekend. I know Alexa just recently won her her second seat. Mark won his seat at the BCBC, which I would like to mention he won after I gave him a banger pep talk. I'm talking like full blown Coach Taylor, you know, Friday Night Lights, clear eyes, full hearts, can't fucking lose style. And he finished 16th. I'm just saying. So I'm giving him another one before that starts tomorrow. So be prepared for him to shoot up, you know, shoot up the leaderboard.
I love it. I mean, we're speechless because now I'm just thinking about like the pep talk that you gave him and like what that would have sounded like. And this is, yeah, it's just gold. And also, this might be the only pod where Mark is not actually catching strays as well, because, you know, I don't even know if the On the Wrong League guys are wishing him good luck. So.
Yeah, no, everyone wants him to lose and lose terribly. I just call him the innocent bystander because he catches so many goddamn strays from every episode that he's brought up in. Let's go ahead real quick, get a word in from our friends at Cut before we jump into, wait. Hold the phone, because it's Merch Madness. That's right. There's 15% off everything in the merch store. Promo code MADNESS. Now we can talk about our friends Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is new and a better way to bet. You can bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes, plus tons of social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Listen, if you can bet on politics with other nerds, I have a feeling that that's going to be Matthew DeSantis' jam. They offer a lower VIG and fully customizable odds, plus they handle the payment side. So after Matthew wallops these other nerds in politics bets, they handle the collection. He doesn't have to go chase anyone down for his $2. So download Cut today in the App Store over at cut.com. That's K-U-T-T, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And, of course, we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. It's the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. They've got their fun pick 'em game. You pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's games for a chance to win big, and you can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. So sign up today with promo code SGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick 'em special. Visit UnderdogFantasy.com or find the App Store. Don't forget to register with my promo code SGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick 'em special. Must be 18 and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. And if you excuse me just one moment, I need to get a rehydration break in.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I love that clip so much because of Jermaine Dupri inexplicably riding a horse. And they're like, I don't remember the plot of the Money Ain't a Thing video, but I do remember he's on the horse. I just don't know why. Let's go ahead. Let's talk about the first race. Gulfstream Park, race five, 7 furlongs, $75,000. Non-winners, a one something, optional claiming. And since this is in the state of Florida, we are going to defer to our resident Florida man, Mr. Barry Smears. Barry, go ahead. You lead us off.
Yeah, I thought this race was kind of interesting, especially to start off the sequence. You know, it's a higher level 7 furlong race. Not on the Tapita, much to the chagrin of Mr. Matt DeSantis. But at least on paper, I thought it looked like the pace could heat up a little bit. And I'm going to throw one downfield here. A horse that I like in this spot is the 9, Star of Saturn.
Look at us. Hey, look at us. Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
I knew you were going to say it.
Yeah, well, you're really familiar with my style. I thought this horse has run good every time. Obviously, she's 2 for 3. The last race in particular, off the bench, a layoff from September 22nd to January 25th, ran real good, improved race off the layoff, sets this one up pretty good, especially if the pace works out like I think it will. Star of Saturn is going to be in the right spot at the right time. Paco gets the job done at 10-1. Please, thank you.
And who was your alternate?
My alternate is the 8, Mystifying. I think this horse has some upside. Regally bred horse out of Curlin. Ghost Zapper Male Puzzling, who was pretty good in her own right. on the bottom side there. And I don't think this horse really wants to be a part of the pace. I think, you know, she was kind of better than the horses she faced in her first time out January 14th at Gulfstream. Shug doesn't typically have his horses cranked. And this one won first off the bench, which was kind of surprising. 7-1 that day. Probably get a similar price on Friday, but you know, that's my alternate pick.
Well, I'll go ahead and jump in since we do have the same top pick, Star of Saturn. That Paco Lopez Bobby DeBona combo is actually a pretty hot little thing there. Also, it, you know, has been keeping really good company as of late when racing in non-state bred races. Whenever he was in open company, the horse lost by 5 lengths to R. Harper Rose, who's not a bad horse by any means. And a second place finish in that race was more than respectable. So I was with you there. And then my alternate pick, I use Miss Justify at 5-1. I get Irad as backup with Paco on my main pick. So do I get bonus points if the jock of my pick punches the jock of my alternate pick? Yes, I do, because I wrote it into the bylaws while you guys weren't paying attention. Matthew, what'd you think of Gulfstream Park Race 5?
Yeah, I definitely. I'll start with my alternative just because Barry and I share an alternate pick in the Chug horse, Mystifying. I do like that horse quite a bit and excited to see that one. And whenever Chug wins first time out, it's worth noting. Ultimately, I went to the number 5 Hot Beach for Brian Lynch. This horse is coming off the bench, but you know, has obviously faced just a higher caliber of horse than a lot of the others. Lynch has been particularly hot at Gulfstream Park, 24% for the meet, and has been particularly good as well at bringing horses off the layoff. And this horse is getting Lasix for the first time. And I just, this horse looks pretty cranked up and ready to go. That 47-1 bullet gatework was noteworthy leading up to this race. And this horse has been on a steady diet of workouts leading up to this one. So it would seem like this horse is ready to go. This is not one where it's like, 3-4 works and let's let the horse run into shape a little bit. If I'm not mistaken, this horse has had 8 works leading up to this debut for 2024. So you know, it's one of that I'll take a shot with. Obviously would need to get a little bit faster probably to win this race from the mid to low 70s that, you know, she was running before. But like I said, a barn that's hot, knows how to get them ready off the bench, and a horse that really looks ready to roll first time out. And to Barry's point, I also agree, a lot of speed in this race. And this is a horse that can come from off this pace a little bit track. And 3-1, not a huge price, but one that I'll take in this first leg.
All right. Who's your alternate? Did you already get
Mystifying,
your alternate?
The 8. Yeah.
Okay. 8. All right. All right. Sarah, it's on to you.
I went to the number two, Miss Justify, as my top pick, and I feel as though this is a situation where I'm really doubtful that we're going to get all of that 5-1 with these new spicy connections of Todd Pletcher and Iron Ortiz Jr. taking the mountain here. And what I like about this horse, at least, though, is that I do feel confident Hot Beach will likely be the favorite unless there is some big push on this horse to at least get second choice for a horse that comes out of some live races. I mean, when she won first time out, she was able to sit and stalk and pass horses in a very professional effort at Laurel. And the horse that she beat in there, Don't Listen, she earned a 70 buyer at her next start. It was in for a $75,000 tag, but that was a big jump up from the race that she had run prior to that. And then when if you look at the Smart Halo Stakes, horses in there, Money Grab, she just came back to win today at Aqueduct, the fifth place finisher of that race. She's won both of her starts since as a three-year-old with higher buyers in the mid to low 70s. And even the horse that finished sixth in that race, she won a stakes race at Laurel in her next start, improving from a 62 to an 84 buyer speed figure. So I feel as though she faced some good company early on in her career. And if she takes that natural step forward from 2-3 with these new connections, she could totally be right in the mix. And then my alternate is the same as Barry and Matthew. I went to the number 8, Mystifying. And this is a horse that really did all of the dirty work in that race. She was the inside speed in there. She put away the other two horses that were forwardly placed. And she held off a horse with some experience in Bedazzlem, who really did not get out of the gate all that well in that start, but had the experience edge on her after she did all of the work in that race early on. And she's been working very sharply since that debut effort. And I thought it was a good starting point for her that she could also take a step forward in here.
All right, moving on. We are on to the second race, the second mandatory race for NHC Friday. It's going to be Oaklawn Park Race 5, 8.5 furlongs, $40,000, non-winners of two, lifetime claiming. And since this is my neck of the woods, and I am a learned man of Arkansas, I will go ahead and take the lead on this one. And my top pick is going to be the 7, Autoglide, at 6-1. There's not a ton of pace to speak of here outside of the sprinter stretching out, who is the number 3, Notorious 602. What up, blood, is what I'll say to that horse. I'm not convinced that horse is more than an inexpensive velocity and can't hold. So I want a forwardly placed horse that can hang near the early pace that Notorious 602 sets. And that leaves me with the favorite, who I'm fading, and Autoglide. I think the Autoglide fits an Oaklawn pattern, which is a horse needing to find a dry, fast track finally. And put Autoglide on that surface is just as competitive as any horse in this race. My alternate pick is going to be the 3, Notorious 602, because I do think that they're going to go fairly slow. And if they do, if this horse is good enough to last the full distance after stretching out, then I won't say it's without a shot. And it's reflected in the morning line with it being at 4-1. Matthew, what say ye about OP5?
Yeah, so obviously Oaklawn is the land of upsets. I was just telling folks earlier this week, 19% of winners at Oaklawn for this meet have been 10-1 or higher at post time. So
that average went up today drastically.
Yes, it did. It did. But yeah, it's been just bombs away. And so I kind of use that as an approach, and I don't think it's going to be a nuclear pace by any stretch, but I do think there's going to be a few more horses on the front end. I do think that obviously the 3 is going to be up there. I think the 4 is going to be up there. And I think the 9 could be up there. I mean, that's a horse that got a bad start last time out, but traditionally likes to be right up on the lead. So I don't know if it'll be a hot pace, but I think it might be a contested one. And it led me to a horse that is making a significant class drop, the number 6, Amazing Mark, 8-1. And these are the sorts of low percentage connections that always win at Oaklawn where I'm like, how did this horse win again? And so that was kind of part of my logic where I just was like, oh, would I normally pick this horse? No. Okay. Well, then that's probably the horse I should pick, because that's the way Oaklawn plays sometimes. But in all seriousness, it's a horse that, you know, is coming down from an allowance race at $140,000 purse and is dropping into this $40,000 claimer. I think this is probably the right level for this horse, having run at Delta Downs prior to that last start at Oaklawn. A little bit of a freshening second off the bench. And, you know, I like that this horse now has stayed up at Oaklawn and has been working at the track leading up to this race. It has some races, I think, you know, 3 back that's a good enough race to potentially win here and make some noise. And I, this horse will be sitting from a little off the pace. But like I said, I think that there might be a little bit of pace here. And sitting four or five lengths off at Oaklawn is not bad. We often talk about the middle move, and I think that's one that can benefit from this. So I'm going to use that horse as my top pick. And then my alternate is the number three, Notorious 602, because I could not be on this podcast and not pick that horse in some way.
Right. So I like that you're going with the Lonnie Briley horse, because I don't know what a Lonnie Briley actually looks like, but in my head, he's sitting on a BMX bike outside of a 7-Eleven. He's wearing a tank top and jean shorts. He's got bleach blonde hair, a thin gold chain, and he wants to know if you want to watch him feed his pet snake, which, yes, we do.
What?
1,000,000% we do.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. We'll watch again. Sarah. What do you think about this Oaklawn Park race?
You and I agree. I went to the number 7, Auto Glide, as well, for some of the same reasons that you did. I felt as though this was a word.
Look at us. Hey, look at us.
Please continue.
I felt this was a horse that would secure that sort of outside stalking trip that could materialize with those horses that are stretching out a distance from the sprints, like Notorious 602 that you mentioned, as well as a couple of others. And I feel as though this is a horse that kind of just has had some trouble staying on the racetrack. But when he is in a situation where he's not on a different surface, off a layoff, or going to the bench off a bad start, he's run well. And he did get bumped around a little bit in the stretch in that last start on his way to finishing second. I know that he's leaving a very capable outfit in the Steve Asmussen barn, but when you look at Greg Compton first off the claim, he's winning at 17% and doing so with a $2.10 ROI over the past 5 years. And I thought that this was one when he was running well in the past. He was running against a decent horse in Tabaguash, a horse that did return to win, won his next two, and then recently ran a competitive second to Kinetic Sky in December with a 92 buyer. So he's kept good company when he's doing something like this, when he's routing on the dirt, and that's what he gets to do in here. And then for my second choice in here, I went to the 6, Amazing Mark, that Matthew had some interest in. And while these are connections that haven't won at Oaklawn over the past 5 years, it's a very, very small sample size. And this horse is just getting some much needed class relief.
All right, Barry. Bring it on home.
Well, I mean, since you know, you guys all want to pick the horse I have, I'm just going to go ahead and pick it too. Auto Glide is my top pick here. I think a lot of these horses in this race are kind of distance challenged. Not many of them have won actually really going long. I think Auto Glide is going to sit a really good trip, not too far off the pace, and be able to close into what I think might be a little bit of a hot pace, because I see a lot of these horses stretching out in distance, and it might get really competitive up front, which sets it up really well for a horse like Auto Glide. If you take out that Turfway race and the Indiana Grand race on the turf, this horse is probably the most consistent speed-wise. My alternate is the 10 Southern Sunset, for the same reasons. It's run well going a distance of ground. It's kind of inconsistent in that regard. You see the last race at 1 1/8, but at a higher level, just didn't really run at all. But there were some really good horses in that race, so I'm willing to forgive that effort. And the 98 buyer that this horse got on the slop, you can kind of dial that down a little bit because it was a perfect trip win. But, you know, there's no real world beaters in here, including that one. So I'll put that one for my alternate.
All right. That is two races down. We've got four races to go. Ooh, before that, got to jump in and get a word in for our good friends at Champs, who is hosting a free March Madness bracket contest for a chance to win $1,000. Plus, if you host your own March Madness pool on Champs, you'll get an extra free entry into the bracket contest. Tiebreakers are determined by who enters first, so make sure to register now so you don't miss out. Head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. And we're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the good nerds who want you to win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching the Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. If you excuse me, I need to get a brief rehydration interlude in.
Brett, hit me with the horns, man! Y'all ready? Let's go!
Oh, no.
Let's go! Y'all ready? Let's go! Let's go! Come on! Everybody jump! 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 Jump!
Whoa.
Jump! I said everybody jump!
When I say freeze, you just stop on a dime. All right. When I say freeze, you give me some well-thought-out horse racing takes on a dime. All right. We're on to Tampa Bay Race 9. I'm not going to double flirt a man, Barry, here because there's only one New York race. And I decided that, Matthew, you're going to be taking the lead for this.
Sort of flirt a man.
He spent his time.
Yeah. 7 years. You know, I got my time served. I lived in Lakeland, which Barry knows is right down the road from Tampa Bay Downs. So, yeah. Do you want to? Yeah. So this is a $53,000 main special weight going a mile on the turf for 3-year-old fillies. And I ultimately, it's an interesting race. It's a really interesting race with some really big pedigrees. But I ultimately went with a horse that is the favorite in this race, Timestone for Cherie DeVoe, because there's really no speed in this race at all. And I think that this is a horse that will sit kind of the perfect trip. And we often talk about, well, you know, sometimes, you know, well, that horse got the perfect trip. Well, sometimes it's because the horses are just good enough to give themselves a perfect trip. And other times it's just the pace scenario sets up that way. And this is one where this horse is just going to be sitting either on the lead or just off the lead. And it's, and there's not going to be very strong fractions, I couldn't imagine. So this is one Cherie's, you know, moving up I-75. And taking this one who debuted at Gulfstream Park and is now running against a little bit of an easier field on Saturday or on Friday, I should say. So this is one that I'm going to be using. You know, ran a very respectable third in debut, has had a nice series of works over the turf down at Palm Meadows leading up to this one. So definitely like this one. And then my alternative is the number 7 right next door for Should Be Gay, first time out wayfaring, who is the half to Surprisingly, who's a really great horse who we just saw run second in a grade one last time out. And that's one who I think I'm interested in one, but a little bit. But first time out with Shug, we mentioned before, is a little bit hit or miss. And so I didn't want to put too many eggs in that basket.
I was so proud of myself for looking up that, you know, all this half sib to Surprisingly, who won the Endeavor, the grade three. One on debut, I might add. Just ran second in the Pegasus Philly and Mare World Cup Turf Tour Derby Majig. Sarah, what did you think of race 9 at Tampa Bay?
I think this is an interesting race. There's a lot of horses that you could gravitate to with some interesting connections. And I think that the horse that I ended up with will be a fair price, at least, because you have the first time starter for Chad Brown. You have a horse with experience that has run well for Cherie DeVoe, and you have some others with maybe possibly some better pedigrees. So I went to the number 9, Rose Summer for Clement, who he's 18%, $2.86 ROI, debuting turf routers. If you look at Tampa only, he's 20% with a $2.99 ROI. This one's a Matoli, which I don't love. With his turf routers so far, he's 0 for 22. It's not really a big surprise. He was a dirt sprinter. But the best half sibling is Beyond Brilliant, earner of over $700,000, multiple graded stakes winning turf router. He took the 2021 Grade 1 Hollywood Derby. And there are those flashy connections elsewhere within this field. And my alternate is also one of them with Wayfaring, the half to Surprisingly. As you mentioned, she won her debut on dirt, but she's run well on turf throughout the majority of her career. And I know that Shug is not someone that cranks those first-time starters, as we've discussed, but if you look at the very small sample size of his turf route first-time starters at Tampa, he's 3 for 5 over the past 5 years, $4.40 ROI. And with those horses, the winners were between 3-1 and 4-1. So if this horse is live, she's probably going to be around her morning line price.
All right, Barry, this is kind of your stomping grounds as well. So what do you got here?
Yeah, you know, I was on the fence on using Rosé Summer because I think that horse might actually kind of pop the gate, get to the front. And obviously in maiden races and maiden turf races especially, you'll see horses go wire to wire like that. But I kind of sat on it and thought a little bit better of that move only because I'm not really enthused about the Mattoli line and being 0-22 on the turf going long. So I ended up on the 4, our finest hour. I know Chad Brown hasn't been on fire lately, but he's picking up and he's actually winning races, or he has been pretty much winning races. The ones that he has been winning has been at Tampa Bay Downs on the turf. I think this horse ran really good behind Timestone the last time, probably needed that race for experience purposes because the first race kind of was buried on the inside, had to kind of work out a trip and it just didn't work out at Laurel. Ran a much improved race at Gulfstream on the 21st, and I think that improvement will continue. Getting Danny Centeno in the irons, who's riding as good as anybody on the turf, as I've seen in the last like 3 months. So I think that bodes a lot of confidence in this horse's chances. And then my backup, the alternate, is Rosé Summer. You know, Sarah hit all the points on that one. You know, Beyond Brilliant was a nice sprint, you know, not sprinter, but speed horse on the turf. And that might play into this horse's advantage, but hopefully I won't get scratched out into that one.
Yeah, you can tell by the level of, and I was really proud of myself for doing this. I've started doing a lot more pedigree research recently. So I was really proud of catching this because I know Vagabond. It was Wayfaring at 3-1. And then my alternate was the 4, Our Finest Hour. I thought Our Finest Hour was the only horse that has passed other horses in a maiden races. That's worth its weight in gold. I think that the horse, I'm going to be one of the cool kids now. Instead of saying, you know, we'll get a good trip or a good setup, I'm going to say, I think this horse trips out. I think this horse trips out, dog. So that's my alt, the 4, Our Finest Hour. Moving on to race 8. At Aqueduct, 8 furlongs, $45,000. Non-winners of 2-something, a New York bred optional claimer. And Sarah, it is your turn to lead it off. What do you got?
This is a race that features basically all of Matthew and I's new best friends now, horses that we've seen run several times. And the one that I'm picking is totally a pet of mine and the number 5 Racing Colors. But this is a horse that tries every time. She's just really been consistently outrunning her odds since last fall. She's in the best form that she's ever been in throughout her entire career. And she's also overcome something in a lot of her recent starts to still run respectably well. She was closing for third on a dead rail January 7th. She was wide against the gold rail on October 19th and running third at 48-1. She overcame a stumble at the start on December 14th, ran third at 10-1. She's just a hard knocking type of horse that I love at this type of level. She runs her race no matter what. And while I think that this is a tougher field than she was facing last time, when which she totally dominated in there, she's shown that she can overcome adversity, and I'm still getting that price in this spot to find out if she can step up to her competition like she usually does. And then for my alternate, I went to another price in the number 3, My First Love, a horse that was first off the layoff last time out. This is not a barn that does well with that move. 1-19 over the past 5 years, so perhaps just needed that race for some fitness. And she has form around this time last year that would put her in the mix in this spot. And I also felt that February 19th was more of a speed favoring day at Aqueduct, and she is a horse that likes a little bit of pace to close into. So if she can get back to some of those last winter and spring races, I think that she could also factor in at another price.
All right, Barry.
So, you know, since this is a win place tournament, you know, these are the tough decisions that you have to make in races like this, where I believe, and I'm just going to throw this out here because I'm going to be a chalk eating weasel, that Cali Magic is an absolute standout in this spot. That being said, you know, you kind of have to think that sort of thing over when you do select horses like this in a competition or a tournament, because there's situations where you could get a horse that can run second that'll pay more than the win place for the horse that actually wins. I thought long and hard about it. I think if the field was bigger, I would do that. But since there's only 8 horses, you might get a scratch. I think, Cali Magic is an absolute standout here. Just been running faster races. It's just playing flat out faster. I know the last race was kind of, like a paid workout. And I know also Orlando Noda isn't doing so well lately. But this horse is just set up to win this race, I think. And I don't think that's going to change tomorrow. That being said, the other horse that I'm going to make my alternate is Gone and Not Forgotten. I think this one is probably going to merit a good trip, kind of off the speed on the outside, and could pick up the pieces. It's sort of a drop down into this spot. The class relief will do this horse a lot of good. It wouldn't even surprise me if this horse wins, getting Kendrick on for the first time. But I'm going to go with Cali Magic as the standout and be the chalk man for one race.
Ladies and gentlemen, Simple Minds.
I'm right there with you, brother. I'm going with my top pick. I'm a chalk-eating weasel for the 4 Cali Magic. I'm just going to take the 3 square. I agree with what you said regarding the place pools here. I think this one just might run away with it because it honestly, to me, looked like low and controlling speed in horizontal sequences. These are the kind of horses that I will single. In this, I'm going to treat it basically like a single in a pick six and say, this is it. This is the horse where I take my stand and say, this one definitely wins. And just whatever price comes out of it is the price that comes out of it. My alternate pick was the 5 Racing Colors, because if I get my alternate pick, it means Cali Magic is out. Cali Magic was the lone controlling speed. This race will be absolutely paceless chaos, basically, if that happens. If that's the case, then give me the big price 5. Racing Colors 10-1 as my alternate. Matthew, what do you got?
Yeah, so it's funny that you guys are going chalk and me and Sarah are going with prices in this race, but I do. So my top pick is the Barry's alternate, actually, the number 5, Gone and Forgotten. I agree with, the things that Barry said about this horse taking a class drop. And I think there's something that's important to note, which is, when people see the Finger Lakes form, and this horse racked up a lot of win at Finger Lakes, it is something which, people will downgrade those types of horses sometimes. And this is a horse that's run well at Aqueduct. And if you look at the 4 races, 2 of them were stakes contests. I'm willing to draw a line through those. The other 2 races was a 2nd and a 3rd. I mean, this horse ran well at this level in those previous 2 races. I think this is one that, is now in a Mike Maker barn, which is hitting at 28% on the year at Aqueduct. And you pick up Kendrick, like Barry said. And I just think this one makes a lot of sense coming back, getting back on a fast track and getting at the right level and has some versatility. If there isn't a ton of speed, I think Kendrick's a type of jockey who can look around and realize Cali Magic's alone on the lead and kind of get this horse maybe a little bit closer than sitting 5 or 6 lengths off and sitting maybe 2 or 3 lengths off and at least being within earshot. So that was one I was willing to take a shot with. And then, we talk about pets, Sarah and I up here, and these horses that we like to have. And easily my worst beat this summer at Saratoga was with the number 8, April Antics, who just got nosed out by Ichiban when she was 15-1 that day at Saratoga, and that was my top pick. And I've not been able to really let that go or move on, as you can tell, as it's 6 months later. But this is one I really like. And I think this is a horse that, again, has that kind of tactical speed. Shouldn't be too far off the pace. You'd imagine Liz Cano sitting from that far outside post is going to kind of, again, be able to judge the pace scenario and get this horse close to the front end, just like it did last time. And while this horse does not necessarily pass a ton of other horses a lot of times, this horse just kind of runs in place. And so if this is a horse that can get up to 2nd early on in the race, then I could see this horse just kind of finishing second, and goes to Barry's point about the place pools potentially. And, you know, you might be able to, you know, pick up a nice chunk of the purse there hitting second and rather than getting a winner at a big price.
Here's my knock on it, Matthew, and that's your plan hinges on a New York jock doing something aggressive.
Listen, there's about three of them, but I'm willing to give Kendrick. It's Kendrick, it's Manny, and Gator. You know, Jose. Yeah. And like, I'm willing to give those three guys a shot. You know, everybody else, it depends on the day.
I just want to talk to whenever Kendrick Carmouche is running out there on the front. I just want to talk to him like I'm a cast member on Swamp People. Just like, you go get out there, old Gator. Get on.
Also, I've never seen Kendrick not in a great mood. Like, everybody talks about like how Katie Davis is always smiling, and she is. But like, Kendrick is like constantly joking, constantly laughing, constantly having a good time, constantly talking crap to the other jockeys, like in the paddock. Like, he's always having a great time out there. So
constantly it's good getting heckled by the Jamaican contingent.
Always.
They get
always
on him.
Not a mercy.
Precisely.
All right. We got two more races to go. This next one, Turfway Park, race two. It's 6 furlongs, an $8,000 claimer. I love it. The NHC Mando race, $8,000 claimer on a Friday night at Turfway. Barry, why don't you lead us off?
Sir, yes, sir. Yeah, this is a wild race. Obviously, it's Turfway that off the top that makes it crazy, but it's a lower level claimer, pretty much the bottom of the barrel. You know, I think there's one level underneath this of 5,000, but anyway, I'm going to throw one downfield here and take number 4, Stacy Attack. And I'm going to tell you why. This horse has run good on turf.
I'm glad didn't that run you bad. Me why. I honestly would be a little bit pissed if you were like, I'm taking Stacy Attack. Now I'm out. Like, I would be like, come on, Barry. Like, yeah, Barry, can you fill us in with more information? Thank you.
You know, there's a little bit to like here. The horses run good at Hawthorne on the turf sprinting, which I think will serve this horse pretty good in this spot. Gets Julio Felix back, and the horse seems to run for him and nobody else. Anybody else you see ride this horse, the horse doesn't really do anything. He gets this horse to the, you know, in the race kind of early, and the horse finishes off. His last win was in a straight $8,500 claimer on the turf at Hawthorne. And I think that is very competitive in this spot. There's really not much in here as a whole as you would expect in an $8,000 claimer. This is why Turfway is crazy, because these are the kind of races that yield big prices. 10-1 on this horse in this race seems like a pretty good bet. Because, you know, this could go a lot of different directions. My alternate is going to be a little bit chalky here with the 7 Beach Kitten. I think it's the same sort of situation. This horse was running on dirt, gets over to synthetic, and turns into a new animal. Particularly that race on February 3rd, I thought was pretty good. Gets some weight off, which never hurts, with the apprentice Terraza in this spot. And why not?
I'm sorry, I zoned out for a second. When you said it turns into another animal, I just sat back and I thought, that's highly illegal. That can't be okay.
We wanted to turn into a dragon, right?
Well, I mean, it takes a dragon a little bit to get started, but yeah, I could, you know, if we were to turn into like a ferret or something,
that's not good. That's like some Harry Potter stuff, man. Remember that's when he did Malfoy, you turn him into a weasel, right?
That's true. And what is a ferret if not just a weasel? My top pick is the holy shit. It's the one Anita at 5-1. I thought that this pace looks extremely quick. And Matthew, what's something that's true of every single sprint race ever run?
You're looking for a closer?
That's right, because I think that the pace is way too hot to sustain, and there is only one horse that wants to come from off the pace in this race, and it's the one Anita at 5-1. Should be saving ground on the rail the entire way around. I love this one at a potentially larger price to pick up the pieces. I could see this even floating up a little bit, depending on, you know, if horses are winning off of the rail earlier. If they're not, then I could honestly see Anita floating up. If the rail's winning, I could see Anita probably staying right where it is. My alternate, I took Cactus Flower 5-2. My lone note was Luan Machado at Turfway. Matthew, what do you think?
Well, you teed me up beautifully for that, Chase, because you dance with the one who brung you. And there's not a jockey who's won me more money this year than the Axeman. So I'm going to go chopping wood and use Luan Machado as in this race for number nine, Cactus Flower, who's taken a little bit of a class drop coming down from the claiming 16 level last time out and taken a drop for obviously to half that in this claiming eight. You're right. There's a ton of speed in this race. That said, Machado has an amazing tendency to get these horses out on the front end. And he, you know, have the outside post position. This horse, I feel, is getting a huge jockey upgrade as well. I think it's worth noting that this horse got a good ride under Burgos two out ago, which is not surprising because that's a pretty good jock at Turfway as well. And so you're getting a really good jock. And, you know, it's just – it's one of those things. Like, it's – I joked with Sarah last night when you sent us the list. I was like, oh, is Machado riding any horse in this race? Because that's going to be my pick. And inevitably, Machado was riding horse in this race. And I was like, no, I actually do like this horse. To something you and Barry both said, you know, this is a horse that was running in the dirt, comes to the synthetic, really takes to it. And, you know, we all are dirty little pig boys for that angle. So it is something which, I just couldn't pass up there. I know it's 5-2 in a big field at Turfway, but I just feel like this one looked pretty solid. And then my backup alternative pick was the number three, Destiny's Darling. Another one that is, you know, can kind of sit a little off the pace potentially. Doesn't need to be up on the lead. And, you know, one at this claiming eight level, two out ago, going 6.5 furlongs. I think this is a little bit of a tougher field, but at least had some success at this level.
Sarah?
Hey, here on Beat Street, we are the Luan Machado fan club, and we have spent many an evening rooting him on at Turfway, and this is where it went as well. I mean, this is a horse that when she won two starts ago, it was for the 12.5, and she was the inside speed that day, and I like that now with this jockey upgrade, she is drawn towards the outside, so that gives Machado options, whether he decides to go right to the lead, whether he looks over and decides maybe somebody else is going for it and he wants to lay off just a little bit. But I don't think that they're going to take a ton of speed away from this horse. And I like that she was facing better horses last time. She was up close. There was a little bit more pace pressure. And I don't want to hold the fact that she faltered in there against her too much, because this is just an easier spot with that jockey upgrade as well. And then for my alternate in here, I went to the number six, Maybe Lucky and Wild horse, who I thought would also have some forward position and is just getting some very logical class relief.
Do you think it trips out?
I don't want to take that away from you.
Thank you. All right. Moving on, next race, I'm leading it off, Santa Anita Race 8, the final of these NHC mandatory races where you keep track of what's going on online. There might be some crazy swings. It's a pretty fun day, and there are always some really good reactions. If you want to see people's, like, raw emotion reacting to horse races, like, check out some of the video that comes out of the NHC tomorrow. There's already a really good one from today. All right, Santa Anita Race 8, 8 furlongs, $50,000 allowance on the turf. My top pick is going to be the 5, Anmer Hall, at 5-1. Gets Freysu up, and it's coming off of two straight wins here. Usually it's, you know, probably time to start looking to fade. I'm sticking with it. Stretching out to a mile, and the horse is yet to win at a mile, but has some respectable races at the distance. I think it should stay pretty close to early pace, but I don't think it's a very hot one. And I like Anmer Hall getting sort of a first run type trip in this race, really tripping out for the win. And then my alternate is going to be the 7, Mubtada. I hate horse names. All right, hold on. I hate horse names like this. I can't be the only one. The ones that are some, like, weird, like, Gaelic Irish word where it's like, well, what's that horse's name? It's like Kafernifer. It's like, I don't know how to say this, and this is what I do for a living. Like, you're making me look foolish with horses with your move to do and your Kafernifer.
It's the Swedish chef naming convention.
Bork, bork, bork.
Oh.
All right, Matthew. All right, my alternate pick was the 7 Mooptada, which I honestly think is the most likely winner. But Matthew, go ahead, tell us what you think for the final race here, Santa Anita,
yep.
Race 8.
Yeah, so I ultimately landed on Tarantino as my top pick for Mark Glatt. This is a horse that has run in some pretty big races on the turf in the past, and you know, is grade 3 placed going long on the turf. So had some class, was running with the Ed Mosier Jr. barn until recently, and then was recently claimed by Glatt, who's at 27% for the meet at Santa Anita, is particularly good off the claim as well. And this is a horse that is getting back on the grass and has some, you know, positional versatility. You get Juan Hernandez aboard. Juan Hernandez on the inside rail, that horse is going to be forwardly placed, I would imagine. And so while I agree the horse probably does not have the speed of Amner Hall, I do think this horse is not going to be sitting 5 or 6 lengths back. I think this horse will be relatively close to the pace, which is where you traditionally want to be at Santa Anita on that turf course. So that's going to be my top pick at 5-1. And then my alternative pick is Amner Hall at 5-1. So those were the two horses that I really kind of zeroed in on. You mentioned the points that I liked about the number 5, but I'll go with Tarantino as my top pick.
Brass.
And I know Sarah, and I know you. Sarah likes at least one of these two horses, but I don't know which one because she has a stat. I know she has a stat. So everybody stand by for Sarah's stat.
I love just the brass balls that Matthew is swinging with right now, because first of all, he dropped a Lonnie Briley horse on us just from the logo. And then now he's coming at us with the horse Tarantino, who has not won in like 4 years, roughly. He's calling a shot. The horse is due. Tarantino. Since I just gave him that much shit, I would like to congratulate Tarantino on winning this. But yeah, I saw that. I started looking. I was like, ooh, Tarantino. Yeah. And I was like, when's the last time this, hold up, this ran out of races. I still haven't seen a win. When's the last time this, it's been a minute. Sarah, go ahead. What'd you think of Santa Anita race 8?
Well, first of all, you can't take Mubtada away from my people and give it to the Gaelics. Mubtada is an Arabic word for the first commencement, or possibly the subject as well. So you gotta respect the Egyptians up in
Damn.
Here. This guy is not a horse that I like in any way, but you're not giving him to the Gaelics. I feel as though the pace might be honest in this race with him stretching out as well as Anmer Hall. And I went with Tarantino, and I know that he hasn't won in quite some time, but when you look at who he's faced throughout his career, graded stakes, dirt, turf, synthetic, he's run and hit the board behind good horses like Law Professor, Hong Kong Harry. And when you look at Mark Glatt, first off the claim, it's a smaller sample size, but in turf routes, he's 6-14, 43%, $3.67 ROI over the past 5 years. That's a pretty monster stat. He's also 64% in the money. So when he takes a horse that he thinks could be a turf router, he usually finds the right kind of spot for them. And this is a horse that's already shown that he can run pretty well going long on the grass in the past. So I thought that this was honestly just a little bit of class relief based on what he's faced in the past as well. And with that stat, that's what led me to Tarantino. And then for my alternate, I went to the number 2, Golden Eye, because I feel like I shit on Joel Rosario so much that I need to talk about what he does really well. And what he does really well is take a horse with early speed on the turf and use it. And that's what I want him to do with this horse, which is what he did 2 back when he was able to win with this particular horse. He was aggressive with this one, had him sit right off of the pace setter, was able to just hold on over remote a horse that was closing in. And now they go back to Joel Rosario after a ride where he was in some traffic and really did not seem too keen on rallying up the rail in that mile and an eighth race last time out. So I like what he did with this horse. I like him for this horse in particular. And I hope that he's aggressive with this one, a horse that I think may not be that good, but he fits really well.
I'd like to apologize to Mubtada's and Mube Tada's family for misclassifying him earlier.
You can also tell which one of us has seen Dune 2 and which one of us has not, because Muad'Dib is a major storyline in Dune 2. So we are all over like Mostadaf, Mudaweeb, we're all over these pronunciations.
Hey, Mos Def?
Mahamel?
God, he's a Mos Def's just like a triple threat with the acting and everything. Ah, you guys seen The Italian Job? What a fucking master.
Great.
Barry, what'd you think?
Well, before I get into it, we're going to play a little game of 7 degrees of law professor.
That's the best game there is. It's the only
it is.
Game.
My friends literally just bought Law Professor at auction.
Nice.
Yeah, John Holloman. Yeah, he just picked up Law Professor.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's sweet, man. Well,
so we're all connected.
Yeah. See, we already started it, and we didn't even know. But Tarantino lost the 2021 edition of the Santa Anita Mathis Mile to Law Professor, but was beaten for second by Beyond Brilliant, who we talked about earlier, whose half sibling is running in the Tampa race.
Look at that.
Yeah, you like that. That being said, Tarantino is my alternate in this spot. I think he's kind of too good to be true. One of those kind of things. He looks way too good to be true, especially at 5-1. He's probably going to be way lower than that. but definitely merits a good shot in this race. I mean, obviously, nobody's surprised if that horse wins. My top pick, I'm going to throw it downfield because things get a little wacky in these mandatory races a lot in these tournaments. I'm going to go with the 8, Single Track Mind. This horse, which I like, stepped up in class and his buyer improved, which signals to me that the horse has improved, especially coming back down in class. The race, I think, sets up for him because the pace, I think, is going to be a lot hotter than what it kind of appears on paper. You have Mega Moon, who has some speed. Golden Eye is probably going to be forwardly placed. I think Tarantino is probably going to be forcing the issue to try to get position early. Silent Heat has some speed. So I think this pace might heat up a little bit up front, and it sets it up for a horse like Single Track Mind. Rispoli gets the most out of this horse every time he rides him. And I think they just went way too long the last two, going 1 1/8 on January 6th, 1 1/4 on February 16th. Dropping back down in class and in distance, cutting back in distance, I think that's the formula. 15-1, I couldn't resist.
I definitely like that horse a lot, Barry, and took a look at that one. And I agree with you, the cut back in distance is the key, because now that horse is going to get the pace that you're not going to get going 10 furlongs. And so I thought that was, for a big price, was an interesting horse. And Rispoli on the grass out there is always dangerous.
Yeah, I'm seeing Rispoli at 15-1 in the finale, I want to add, at Santa Anita. In the finale, and I point that out, if you want to subscribe to the Dirty Little Pig Boy angle, that crazy shit always happens in the last race at Santa Anita.
Little Pig Boy.
Can I get the definition?
Little Pig Boy. He's that pathetic, dirty bitch baby mistress gets to stand on.
Yeah. Yeah, always. Always. Doesn't it? It's Sex Panther odds, just, you know, 50% of the time, works all the time. Crazy shit always happens sometimes in the finale at Santa Anita. Here we go. We're going to recap our picks. Whenever I say your name, we're just going to rattle off the number and the name of your pick. So, all right, Gulfstream Race 5. My top pick was the 9, Star of Saturn. Matthew. You're muted.
I closed out all my windows. I don't have this stuff open anymore.
Okay. You know what? Instead of doing this, we'll do it the old-fashioned way, which is I'll just put a picture on Twitter. That would have been way smarter. That probably should have thought of that initially. But this thing is, I picked up this new strain called Trap Star, and it goes hard like a Young Jeezy song. I don't mean like a Young Jeezy song, because he goes by Jeezy now, and I want to give the man his respect.
Yeah, he's a golfer. I don't know if you saw that. He was golfing with DJ Khaled yesterday.
As DJ Khaled just trash at golf, I would think.
No,
he
he's actually pretty good. He's actually
right. He's good. DJ Khaled. Come on. Right.
Another one.
We literally just did that in unison, folks who are only getting to listen to this. Guys, I'm going to let you shout out what you got going on. Matthew, what's new with Naira Betts?
Plenty of new content coming up, obviously, with the Kentucky Derby prep picture. Got a lot of stakes analysis for the various races. This weekend, we have some great promos at Aqueduct. We got a couple of nice stakes races on Saturday and Sunday. Got my long shot of the day that comes out every single day, 6-1 or higher. No chalk zone inspired by the sniper. And it just every day doing stuff. And I think, fingers crossed, very soon we will be able to officially announce the launch of a Naira Betts YouTube channel. So very excited about that. And looking forward to having all of y'all on at some point.
I want to see the whiteboard. That's what I'm here for.
The whiteboard's coming out. Yeah, whiteboard is coming out.
You're going to give us like a time progression whiteboard.
What's that?
Are you going to give us like a time progression whiteboard? Like, I want to see like the over time you like putting that together.
So this is something one of my colleagues mentioned that she was like, she wanted to just set up her phone to just like record me doing the whiteboard because she's like, it's the weirdest thing. And because she watches me do it. And so,
y'all sound productive as shit in that office.
Right. It's aggressive. Yeah, that's an aggressive.
We're picking winners and drawing pictures, and that's what we do. And it'll be fun times, and we'll bust out we'll definitely bust out the whiteboard for the grade ones. I don't know if you guys saw the other day though, Gulfstream Park had the jockeys draw horses.
Oh man, I gave it to Jose
and they
Ortiz.
Were awful.
That was the worst. It looked like an aardvark that sat on a cactus.
Oh my god.
No way a horse at all. There's no way.
That's what I got going on.
I think in the place that Matthew and Sarah both inhabit, there's a painting of an aardvark sitting on a cactus or something like that.
There's a
painting.
There's a lot of interesting decor in this this Airbnb that we inhabit, but I'll let people use their imaginations for that.
That's right. Well, Sarah, what do you got going on this weekend? You're going to be on air?
Saturday, on air, early portion of the show before the stakes action gets too serious. March is a little bit of a chiller month for me. I'm taking a little bit of time off earlier this month and yet again next weekend, but you can usually find me on Talking Horses or America's Day at the Races. A couple times a month, if not more than that. So that is where you'll see me. And of course, always online on Twitter at Outrun the Ops.
See, I'm of the ilk of no chalk zone, no days off. Come on.
Yeah. I'm on some days off, occasional chalk zone. That's my territory right there. I want to get everyone's opinion on this. I was talking to someone. So someone tweeted at me yesterday their ice cold $100 exacta that they hit for $2,400 at Gulfstream, which I was like, there you go. That's the way to play it. And I completely forgot which direction I was going to go with that. Maybe I just wanted to toot his horn again. Yeah, never mind. The thought has left me.
Horn tutor.
Jeez. And like that.
It was gone. Just proof. Gone. Yeah. Barry, what do you got going on?
Not much. You know, Going in Circles podcast. Big Monday comes out on Tuesday. Other than that, you know, out here and there, you know, doing stuff with DRF and Gino usually once a week. And then, you know, I'll make some appearances here and there, going to the Florida Derby in a couple weeks. Actually got to go back out to Tampa Saturday so I can cash my tickets. I left before that all got shaken out, but gonna have a good time.
That was crazy.
I'm always gonna have a good time. Yeah, it was wild, especially being on track. You know, you could feel the uprising. It was slow, but then people were like, oh, what's going on? What's going on? And then people headed for the door before the Tampa Derby went off. But, you know, it was good to see. There was a lot of people there. It was just unfortunate what happened, but, you know, hopefully they'll recover, I'm sure, and everything will be cool once again.
I like it because it just spawned our first Crying Jordan AI collaboration.
Oh, it's a collab. I know. I thought it was going to be a Shamdu collaboration, but it ended up being a unique situation where the Crying Jordan was definitely in effect and needed.
In the O and error was just a chef's kiss, my boy. Chef's kiss. All right, that's going to do it for us here at the Notorious OTB. I will be back tomorrow to talk Oaklawn's Saturday card. That's right, it's the Whitmore Stakes Day card. Don't know how we're going to attack it yet. I'll figure it out, but it's going to be just me solo, just talking to you all smooth in your ear, close to the microphone, like, hey, these are the horses to pick, boo. This is a good time for the show to end. We will catch you next time with more Notorious OTB. We are out.